kind of finish off the last few verses of Jude. Just like to read again verse 1 and 2, and then down to the later, perhaps starting at verse 20. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Down to verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Interesting that in verse 2 it talks about mercy, and then in verse 21 it mentions mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I mentioned this morning that mercy means God's compassionate comfort and care for his beleaguered saints in times of conflict and stress. And in verse 2 it mentions these three things: mercy, peace, and love. And it says that they are to be multiplied, not added, but multiplied. So we have the advantage of coming to the Lord and seeking his face, and he is able to encourage us and to just guide and direct our steps. And we finish off at verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And what we were discussing in the previous verses this morning, a lot of reference to the Old Testament and things that happened that we can read about. But again, as Jude was saying, that we need to earnestly contend for the faith in verse 3. And in doing so, verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. And we talked about, even in our own meetings, we have to be on guard. We have to watch, making sure that those who come in and fellowship with us are not trying to, bring in other doctrines, bring in their own way of thinking. But we need to be, assured or make sure that those that are joining with us are of the same mind and agree to the principles of God's word. And so, 17, remember ye the words that even the apostles and New Testament times, they were saying how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And we are seeing that is so prevalent to today. It seems as though men who are presenting, in particular men who are presenting the Word of God, they want to build themselves up. They want to have massive numbers of people in. They want to discredit the Word of God in many cases. A lot of it we find that there is certainly truth that they present, but also they start to twist the Word of God for their own advantage. And it says in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And we know, as we read earlier, that it was Christ who came to die for the ungodly. And verse 19 says, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." When a person comes to faith in Christ, they repent of their sins, they acknowledge that they are sinners and that they cannot save themselves. So they come to Christ and the Holy Spirit indwells them. And this verse says that though these ones who are coming and walking after their own ungodly lusts, they're separated themselves. They are sensual. They do not have the Spirit of God living within. I appreciate the how Jude encourages the saints. In verse 3, he says, "Beloved." In verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye." And now in verse 20, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Verse 21:2, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." A man by the name of Maxwell Coder, in his book, Jude, the Acts of the Apostate, says, "These wonderful verses begin with an inward look at the developing of Christian character. We are to be building. They continue with an outward look at everything and everyone for whom we should intercede. We are to be praying. Then they look upward at the one who loves us and who has made us his children. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Then they conclude with a forward look at the return of our Savior and the dawn of eternal life in his presence. We are to be looking and waiting for the final great manifestation of his mercy." And as we do that, how can we build up ourselves? As mentioned, we need to be spending time in the Word of God and allow him to teach us and show us. And I know there are some who, yes, they read the Word of God, but it's on an inconsistent basis. It's not something that they hold to and take in daily. You know, even our daughter and son-in-law, you know, they appreciate when we talk to them and they say, you know, "We're praying, you know, for you and about you." And our daughter Jill has had hip problems for many, many years, some days she can hardly move around. She went to the surgeon this past week, and he told her that there's something more than the hip problem. And she's been trying to tell other doctors this beforehand. But so he has ordered another set of x-rays, and she said, "I've just had some," but then when she thought about it, it was back in last November. So she was able to have those x-rays done later that day. Now just waiting for him to check out the x-rays, and hopefully he can find out what is going on in her. But we've tried to encourage them to go to a place of meeting, and they can go to a place that we know is sound, because our brother Bill Yule, whom most of us would know, they're perhaps maybe 15 minutes away from where that meeting place is, and yet they've never been there. Joan talks and tries to encourage them to go, and they acknowledge that they should be. But how can they build themselves up if they're not willing to spend time in his word? Yes, they appreciate you praying for them, and they, you know, desire it, but they themselves have to build themselves up, and the way to do that is to spend time in his word. And then praying. How many of us appreciate those when they you know, come to you, and I know even Sister today saying that, you know, I'm praying for Joan, and will be praying for her this week. And I know when our brother Thomas, when we met for breakfast and came back here yesterday, he was praying for Joan as well, and saying that, you know, she's, this is his words, she has been such an encouragement to other ladies in the chapel. And so we do need prayer for one another. We need to be upholding one another. So building ourselves up, praying, and then it says keeping ourselves in the love of God. We need to, there's much in the world today, much that we see on TV, much that we hear, we can read about in the newspapers, etc., much that is there that wants to draw us away from the things of the Lord. But we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. And then it also talks about the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, looking for that mercy and that compassion. We find that God is able to sustain us. He's able to keep us day by day. And we just need to draw on his mercy, draw on his love for us. And as mentioned by this author, there is an inward look. There is an outward look. There's an upward look. And there's a forward look to when our Lord will come and return for us. And then verse 22 says, of some have compassion, making a difference. The compassion that you can have one for another can be such a blessing. It does make a difference when we know there are those that care for us. And they show it, they demonstrate it, and they have that compassion. And of some having compassion, making a difference. But notice in verse 23, others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. There are those that we know belong to the Lord. We know that are struggling spiritually. We know that someone needs to come alongside. And as it were, just pull them out of that fire. Leviticus 13:52. This doctor writes, he has medical training as well as being a Hebrew scholar. He points out that there is no translation that is satisfactory for all the conditions covered by the Hebrew word. Just let me read the verse. Leviticus 13. It talks about the plague, and it talks about verse 50, and the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. He shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, this taught about leprosy, either in the warp or in the woof or in a skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. Then verse 52 says, he shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen or in anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy or a festering leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. And so Dr. Harrison says that there's not a satisfactory translation for the word, for the conditions covered by the Hebrew word, that it should be broad enough to include the disease, and he calls it Hansen's disease. The case of leprosy in a garment properly refers to some type of mold or mildew on a wool or linen cloth or leather garment. Harrison explains the wisdom of destroying garments so tainted. Molds are fungus growths on dead or decomposing animal or vegetable matter and occur in patches of various shades. Then to make the spiritual connection or application, the fungus growth affects the entire article by its presence, just as the taint of original sin reaches all areas of the human personality. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Reminded of that hymn 253, are you washed in the blood? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then Charles Wesley says, Jehovah's people must be pure and clean externally as well as internally. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's trusting in the blood so freely shed for me, a humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true and clean, which neither death nor life can part from him that dwells within. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, heart that's trusting in the blood so freely shed for me. So some have compassion. We can make a difference in their lives. Others say with fear, pulling the motive far, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Those that we know are in a sinful state that are from the Lord. And yes, they still believers in Christ, but they have strayed. And we need to, as it were, pull them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So we need to do that, certainly. And then just last a couple verses. He continues, not only building up, etc. In verse 24, he says, and verse 24 and 25, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There are three aspects of salvation. We are saved out of the fire from the penalty of sin. We are being saved. God is able to keep us from falling. We are saved from the power of sin. We will be saved from the very presence of sin, faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I think what most of us appreciate about the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the fact that he died on Calvary's cross and bore our sins, but also in heaven he intercedes for us. We know that also the Holy Spirit does that as well. But when we read that the Lord Jesus himself intercedes for us, and he's the one that is able to keep us from falling. But again, I present to you that we need to be doing what he wants us to do. We need to be spending time in the Word so that the Holy Spirit is able to teach us and to encourage us to enable us to keep from falling. And it's by his grace that he's able to do it, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When we spend time with him, and we know that from what we've been saved, then we know that the Lord is indeed able to do all of this for us. And then verse 25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever. Amen. I'm sure most of us know a number of the benedictions. This one, verse 24. But there's one in number 6, 24 and to 26. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We can take comfort and encouragement in these. And there are several more. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, and is his power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And 1 Thessalonians 5:28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Then 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation or encouragement and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and work. And then Hebrews 13:20-21, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. In conclusion, this is, just want to say this, let us be warned against drifting back from our first faith. Let us take heed from the fate of fallen angels, or of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Cain and Balaam, of Korah and others. Let us watch and pray and earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There are things that we can be doing, even as we look at the benedictions, and even as we take comfort in what the Lord continues to do in and through our lives. And again, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's going to do it with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. When I looked at this book, this epistle, there's so much in here which we certainly didn't elaborate on, about different things that we read about in the Old Testament, but it's something that we can, you know, read for ourselves, something that we can continue to do as we spend time with the Lord and connect with him. And so for Jude, who was a servant of Jesus Christ, and he encourages, to them that are sanctified, preserved, and called. And then he offers and says to us, we can have mercy, peace, and love. Then he talks to us as beloved, that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. And 17, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be aware of what is happening around us, and we have to be on our guard. But then he encourages us in verse 20, but beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. It's something that we can do as we are built up, as we continue to pray, as we keep ourselves, and as we look upward. And knowing that there is coming a day, we trust, soon, when our Lord will return, take us home to be with himself. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this epistle. Father, we thank you that in it there are many instances of wayward children. And Father, we thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. We thank you that in spite of our failings, you love us still. you continue to draw us to yourself. And Father, we thank you that we are able to spend time in your word because we need it in this day and age. We need to be built up. Yes, it says build yourselves up. But Father, we are encouraged when, for example, we hear our brother share on a Wednesday night about broken things and how they can be repaired. Father, what a blessing it is that we can be in encouragement one to another. We can pray one for another. And Father, we just ask that you would be with us this day. This coming week, we don't know what we will face, but we can face them knowing that you are with us. So dismiss us with your blessing. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.